Give a warm welcome as we meet together around God's word, as we meet to worship. Have a time we can come and refresh ourselves spiritually in with him and his word. Just two announcements before we start. One is for church members, that there is a church meeting after the prayer meeting on Thursday evening. So for church members, a church meeting after the prayer meeting this coming Thursday. And anyone who's willing and able, we have the holly wreath on the Friday and the Saturday. After the church meeting, willing helpers are needed to help set up ready for the following week. Thank you very much.
Martin, have you got your microphone?
Yeah.
Caleb, mate, I just want to check. Have you got...
Yeah? Okay, good. That's just church meeting next Thursday evening and help us for holly wreath. We're going to start with our first song, which is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And as we sing through this song, the hymn writer has picked up the children of Israel as they have gone through the wilderness before getting to the promised land. And it's a picture of us as we go through this life before we get to heaven. Let's stand and sing with the music. Before we read, let us turn to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we ask that as we come into your presence, that you would be with us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be amongst us, helping us to praise you, to worship you, helping us as we listen to your word read, and later as we listen to your word explained, that our hearts would be sensitive to what you're saying to us, that we would have willing wills to go out and put into practice what you have to teach us. We pray that all distracting thoughts from the past week, from the week that's to come, from later today, will be taken from us so that we can truly give you our time and attention. We acknowledge that you are a great God. We look around at creation round about us, and it speaks volumes of what you are like. Help us to have this time of quiet from the week to focus on you. We ask for your honour and glory. Amen. We've got our reading this morning is from Ephesians and chapter 5. So Ephesians and chapter 5, which is 978 in the church Bibles. 978 in the church Bibles, or on the wall behind me. We're reading from verse 1 the way through to verse 21. Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. When the children's talk follows our next song, which is, I Once Was Lost. I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. And as we sing this song, perhaps you will reflect back on where you were and what God has done through Christ for you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, perhaps this is where you are, lost in darkest night, actually living life according to your wisdom and your will. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Come and have a sit down. Come and have a sit down. Right, so who knows what day it is today? Does anyone know what day it is today? Go on, Annie. It is. It's December the 1st. And that means, I think, we can definitely start talking about Christmas. Now, who's been thinking about Christmas already? Who went to a school Christmas fair or the Kroger Christmas fair this weekend? Yeah, I did. I went to two Christmas fairs. Two Christmas fairs. Lucky me. who has got some decorations in their house already? Has anyone got decorations in their house? Oh, you have. Very good. We haven't. Not yet, but we will. What about... Okay, so because it's the 1st of December, who's got an advent calendar? Has anyone got an advent calendar? Almost. I think everyone's got an advent calendar. Yeah, so first. So this morning, you could get up, you could open door number one and you have a bit of chocolate. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the 1st of December and I was thinking about advent calendars. And I was thinking it's interesting that there are some things that we do at Christmas, but it's not actually stuff that's in the Bible. I thought I'd have a little look about this. This is a little think about that. This is one of our advent calendars from home. This one's got some little drawers on it. I think we've got some pictures that are going to come up as we go through. There we go. Christmas stuff. That's not in the Bible. And there, that picture, that is... Can you see what that is? That's some of our other advent calendars at home. Those are the chocolate ones. Now, can I have somebody to come and help open this one? Okay. Elle, do you want to come up and open one? So, don't worry, we're not going to do 24 of these, but do you want to do number one? There we go. So there's a bit of paper in there. Do you want to pull that out? You can have the chocolate, and then can I have the bit of paper? Fantastic. Thank you very much. So, yes, we don't have chocolate advent calendars in the Bible, but we do. But the thing about advent calendars is they help us to count down and they help us to get excited about something that's going to happen. And we do have a little bit of that in the Bible because there are things in the Bible that help us to count down and get excited about. And what is Christmas all about, apart from the chocolate advent calendars? All about Jesus' birthday. So we do have a little bit of an advent calendar all through the Bible. So the first bit we've got here is it says Isaiah 7. So this is a little bit like door number one, or maybe it's not door number one, but it's one of the doors. And this bit of the Bible, do you know it was written 700 years thereabouts before Jesus? A very, very, very long time. So this was back at the beginning of the advent calendar. And this is what it says. It says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be pregnant, she will have a son, and she will call him Emmanuel." So that's telling us that someone's going to be born, this special person, Emmanuel, that we're waiting for, and the way that he's born will be a miracle. His mum will be a virgin. So that's the first thing we've got. Right, I need somebody else to help me with door number two. Who can come and help me? Go on, Annie, your hand went up very quickly. So number two. Very good. So you're getting the idea. You know there's chocolate in there now, so the arms are going up a bit quicker. That's okay, go on, give it a pull. There we go, so we've got the paper wedged in there, very good. You can have the chocolate, and we'll see what it says on this bit of paper. Aha! I've wedged it in there too good, you can't get it out. There you go, you got it. So this one says Isaiah 9, this is the next bit in our calendar. So this one says, this is a bit of a long one, does anyone want to read that for me? Yeah, do you want to read it for me? Counselor, that one. Fantastic. Thank you very much for reading that. Don't worry, I'll get you a chocolate at the end. Yeah, I'll give you a tricky one there with some long words. So this bit is another bit in Isaiah, and it says that this person that will be born, his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Powerful God. That's interesting, isn't it? Because when people are born, we don't normally call them God, but this is giving us a little bit more information about this person, a bit more of a countdown. Right, door number three. Who can help me with door number three? Yeah, go on. That's that one. Well done. Right, you try to wiggle that chocolate out and I will have a look and see what this says. Okay, so we've got another one. This one says Micah. So this is something else that was written still a really, really long time before Jesus was born. And it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah," that's hard for me to say, "Ephrathah, are one of the smallest towns in Judah. But from you will come one who will rule Israel for me. He comes from very old times, from days longer." So this is saying that this special person that's going to be born is going to be born in a really small place. Now this is probably a silly example, but on the way here this morning I was saying, maybe it's a bit like if you said the mayor of Crowborough is going to come from Alderbrook. And Alderbrook is I live in Alderbrook, so I'm allowed to say that, but Alderbrook is a very tiny little place on the bottom of Crowborough, isn't it? And you don't think that the mayor would come from Alderbrook, but that's a little bit like what this is saying. It's saying this really important person is going to come from Bethlehem, the funny little place. You wouldn't expect that. So we're getting more and more little clues in our Bible advent calendar. Right, so the last one. Who's going to help me with the last door here? Who's not been up? Go on, River, you come. There we go. Brilliant. Right, you get that chocolate out of there. Okay, so we're going to fast forward a little bit. This is a bit like Christmas Eve, this door, and we're going to go to the book of Luke. So this one says, "The angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary.'" So this is when the angel, God's messenger, came and spoke to Mary. And he said, "Don't be afraid, you'll become pregnant, you'll give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. God will give him the throne of King David, and he will rule over the people of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So it's telling us more about him, but it's also kind of talking backwards to all of that stuff. So this is just before Jesus was born, but it's talking about all of the things that were said about Jesus hundreds of years before, and it's saying, by the way, guys, this is that guy. This is that guy that's going to be born. It's Jesus. So there's so much stuff in the Bible that counts down to Jesus and helps us to get excited for him. So all I want to say to you this morning is, when you're eating your chocolate calendars, I know how exciting it is when you get up and you think, I can have some chocolate. I actually had chocolate for breakfast today because the girls were eating chocolate from their calendar and I felt jealous and I had chocolate for breakfast and I didn't feel very good for having chocolate for breakfast. Darling, that lint bunny that you think is in the cupboard. But when you're getting excited about the chocolate calendar, just think about what we're really getting excited about, and that is Jesus. And maybe you could read some of the Advent calendar that we've got in the Bible. Maybe you could read the book of Luke and a bit of the story of when Jesus is born on your own or with your parents. That is what I would really encourage you to do. Don't just be excited about the chocolate. Be excited about Jesus. Thank you very much for listening. Well done, guys. Oh, and if you didn't get some chocolate, then I'll come and give you some. I can't remember who came up now, but you'll all get one. Here we go. You already have one, haven't you? Off you go, off you go.
Get a bit of chocolate as well. Okay, let's turn to our God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, as we come back into your presence in prayer, we acknowledge that you have never got a beginning. You are without start. You have never been created. And you are infinite. You are eternal. You will be there forever. And we've just seen that you're a God who does not change. You're the same yesterday, today and forever. You're a God who has a plan. You're a God who knows the end from the beginning. You're a God who, in your word, had the Old Testament point to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Point to the fact that he would come and be a saviour. He will save his people from their sins because he knew that man had turned their back on you. But that's peace which Adam and Eve knew in the garden, that the original creation that was perfect had been broken through disobedience. And yet, unless there was someone who was perfect, who was pure, who was willing to die and take the punishment that sins deserved, mankind could never have peace with you again. And we thank you that your Son was willing to come. Thank you that you were willing to send him. to die for the things that we have done wrong, the things that get in the way of our relationship with you. And we each need to be forgiven for the sin, the wrong that we have done. Help us, we pray, to look to you for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to come to you realizing that there is nothing in and of ourselves that we can do to be forgiven. Lord, we pray that for those of us who know you as our Saviour, for those of us who you have opened our hearts to see our sin and our need of salvation, that we would have thankful hearts, we would have joyful hearts, we would want to be singing you praises. And for those who do not know you, we ask that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin, would show them their need of a Saviour, and would point them to Jesus. We thank you as we sing in the children's talk, the details that you had predicted, had prophesied, had shown that would happen when Jesus was born. Isaiah, writing at least 700 years before Jesus was born, was able to predict, was able to prophesy, was able to tell in such detail of things concerning Jesus. And that should give us more strength, and that should strengthen our faith more as we come to you, knowing that you're a God who is in control. And we pray that as we read your word, as we come under your word later, we pray that we would be really listening. Lord, there's so much in that passage for us to listen to, and for us, with your help, to applying our lives. And we ask that we would put off our old self and put on the new self. Help us to be imitators of God. Help our lives to be changed so they are more like Jesus. Help us to turn our back on things that are not right. Help us to turn our back on things that are not according to your will. Lord, help us to see the way you want us to live our life, to the way you want us to interact with each other, the way you want us to interact with those round about us outside of the church environment. Lord, we pray that what you teach us from your word would affect our lives, whether we're at home, whether we are in the church, whether we are in work or school, or with friends. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to do that. Lord God, we want to thank you that as we do come to this Christmas time, it is a time where people are more willing to go into a church building, are more receptive to a message around Jesus and the Christmas story. And we pray this Christmas time that hearts would be opened, that the light of Christ would shine into their hearts and they would turn to you for forgiveness. We ask that you would bless us as a church as we seek to reach those round about us. Lord, we remember the Christmas cracker and the event up at the Crowborough High Street on Friday. We pray that you would bless those conversations. We pray that you would bless those leaflets that were given out. We ask that as your word was handing out, that you would use that to bring honour and glory to your name. We pray that there would be people here this evening for the service that want to find out more about you. We ask that any of the children that did the crafts or the face painting would want to come to Thrive, and we can teach them more about you. We pray that as we go through the other Christmas events, First Tuesday, the Holly Wreath this Friday and Saturday, the candlelit services, we pray that you would be speaking through your word, that souls would be being saved, that lives would be changed. We also ask that you would be with our government. Lord, we know true wisdom is found in you. We ask that our government would look to you for wisdom. We pray that you would draw them to look to you for wisdom. We pray that you would influence them so that they look to you for wisdom. Lord, we see man's wisdom with the way they voted on Friday in that bill. Lord, we ask that you would overturn that vote. We pray that men would see the preciousness of life. Lord God, help us not to be, as man, to be strong and confident in what we think and what we can do, knowing that is completely futile against an almighty and holy God. Lord God, we remember us as a family that meet here at Forest Fold. You know each of us. You know each of our different circumstances. Lord, I'd like to pray for the older people who can't meet with us, who are in homes, Lord, who are weak, Lord, who are approaching the end of their life. We pray that you would be with them, that your peace would be with them, that you would strengthen them, Lord, and any that can join with us over the live stream, we thank you for that facility. We pray for any that have operations coming up, any that are recovering from operations. We pray that your hand would be with them too. Lord, life can seem very stressful at times, and you know the different stresses that we fail, whether it be through work, whether it be through relationships that have gone wrong, Lord, whether it be through money, or whatever it is, help us to turn to you and commit them to you in prayer, knowing that you're a God who does comfort, who does provide, who does strengthen, who does give peace, and who does give joy. Lord God, as we come to your word again, we pray that you would be with us. We again ask that you'd be with John, give him a clear mind, give him clarity of thought and clear speech, and we pray that we would see you and you speaking to us through him. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to come to our third song, but before we do, tonight we have an invitational service. We hope people will come and been spoken to on Friday, or you may be inviting friends. So Rob has just asked if you can be careful how you park your car in the car park, as there could well be more cars as you park. Thank you. Well, we've been praying about the wisdom of God, and for our next thing, we've got the perfect wisdom of our God, revealed in all the universe, all things created by his hand and held together at his command. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Well, when you start to walk places with your parents, you remember those early days walking to, where would it have been? School, the play park, the shops. And your parents give you some guidance, don't they? As you start to tackle the roads, as you start to walk these places. They say, don't walk in the road. It's key for your safety, isn't it? Don't walk in the road, parents say. Don't walk in the mud. Arrive clean at school. Don't wade your way through the bog on the verge. Don't walk in front of that older gentleman. Be thoughtful as you walk and as you go from A to B. But the Bible often calls our route through life our walk. The way we go from A to B, the way we progress through life. Lots of times in this letter to Ephesians, you come with the phrase walk. We've had it several times already, and we're going to have three more this morning. And it's really telling us how we should live, how we should go forward as a Christian. How are we going to approach the days ahead? What sort of a life are we going to live? As we go into this next week, what route are we going to take? As you get to this next phase of life, with its changing circumstances and new pressures and demands, how are you going to walk through? How are you going to live? And this morning's passage is packed and it's practical. We've got 21 verses if we get through them all, if we do them all this morning. And we've got three different ways in which we should walk. Three different ways in which we should walk. Three ways in which we should go forward if we're Christians. And the first is this. Walk in love. So if you have Ephesians 5 open, you'll see in verse 2. And walk in love. And that just summarises so much, doesn't it? Last week, all the putting off of certain things, perhaps you remember that, and the putting on of certain things, the way we handle grudges and the way we handle anger and the way we speak to one another, it's so much of it summarised in this, isn't it? Walk in love. You can almost see it as the archway, the banner over the route we take through today, through this week, through the next phase of life. Well, how's it summarised really? So much of it, walk in love. Love, agape, it is, that's the Greek word, and it's a self-giving love. It's a deep concern for others. It's willing to give up things for others. And why does that make sense for the Christian and the Christian life? It's not just because it's nice, which is a nice way of living, a nice way of going forward, to walk in love. There's two stronger rocket boosts which really drive us to live this way as we go forward. And they're there in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So we are loved by the Father. We're beloved children. Christian, you're in God's family and he's poured his love on you. He's given you a status and a privilege and a future and a sense of belonging, all because of his wonderful love. You're loved by the Father, and it gives you a rocket boost to walk in love yourself as you go forward. And you're loved by the Son, you're loved by Jesus. See how much he has loved you, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. He didn't just give a little. He gave himself up for us by going to the cross and dying instead of us on the cross, paying the price for our sins. And it's a tremendous rocket boost to go forward in the way of love, walking in love. Do you know God's love yourself? You know, I'm not sure anything can really beat knowing God's love for ourselves. When you ask Jesus to be your rescuer, when you ask Jesus to be your director, then you will realize how amazing God's love is for you. You're part of his family. You can say, Christ died for me. The guilt is taken. The price is paid. Amazing love, says the older hymn. How can it be that you, my God, should die for me? And so we should walk in love. That's the sort of banner. That's the sort of way forward. That's the route through life. Walk in love. Wondering how to live, how to approach a situation. How does it fit in terms of walking in love? And keep that in mind. We don't want to forget that one because it very much connects with what we go through with the others, although I won't keep coming back to it. First then this morning, the way forward is to walk in love. The second, and that, this stretches from verse 3 down to verse 14, is walk in light. Walk in the light. Verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This time of year, you sometimes choose which side of the road you're going to walk down if you're going on a walk. And if it's a bright day and the sun is shining on one side or not the other, then you might well cross. You think, well, it's much more pleasant to be in this side. It's a bit warmer. It's brighter. So I'm not going to walk down under those trees. I'm going to walk in the light. Talk of the sunny side of the street. Can be quite good for businesses on the sunny side of the street because people like to be on that side and they'll be on that side and they go in the shops on that side. It's quite good for business to be on the sunny side of the street. And so should we walk in the light. It's the way forward for us. There's a lot in these verses. I can't cover every part of these verses. I'm going to pick out the main points. Not going to go through in order, group them together so we can see the main points that we have here. It talks about a dark side to avoid. A dark side to avoid. Verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints or Christians. The dark side here, sexual immorality, impurity, greed. Greed is the inner desire for more and more, which loses control, which tramples on others, which gets what it wants, which accumulates, which is very selfish, which sees getting things for me as more important than God. It is idolatry. It tramples all over God's guidelines. And it includes sex as well. You remember the last commandment, you shall not covet your neighbour's wife. Sexual immorality, impurity. The Bible is not against sex. The Bible is not against sex. It's a wonderful gift from God, and God has given it as the pleasurable expression of love between a man and a woman committed to one another in the loyal relationship of marriage. It's a great gift from God. But like many gifts, it can be used the wrong way, in a way that was never intended. And where it's used out of place, it causes harm, eventually, if not immediately. And so he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. And that word for sexual immorality is porneo in the Greek. And it includes things like sex before marriage, affairs which break marriage, sex between people of the same sex, sexual satisfaction from images is where we get our term pornography from. Society then had very few boundaries for sex, a bit like today. And they needed to hear God's good pattern, God's good pattern for sex. Sam Albury, who's a minister, who incidentally experiences same-sex attraction, but who does not practice it in his lifestyle, but seeks to live a biblical pattern of life, he said when he was interviewed, the Bible is very clear that God loves everyone and welcomes us into his family, the church, through faith in Christ, whatever our gender, class or race, and we might say sexuality. We do need to keep stressing that, but we also need to recognise the fact that the Bible is consistently negative about homosexual sex and indeed any sex outside of heterosexual marriage. So we should avoid sexual immorality of all sorts. And this can be a sensitive area for many of us. Perhaps there's an awareness of past mistakes, of things that have not been good. Coming onto a subject like this can make us very uncomfortable, perhaps. And we do need to realise the message of the gospel of forgiveness through Christ. That to the lady in John chapter 8, Jesus says of her, despite her past life, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I suspect as well it's an area which contains struggles for many. We are fallen creatures. In the subjects we're looking at this morning, there will be areas of temptation, perhaps intense temptation for some, in premarital sex, in extramarital sex, in same-sex activity, or in stimulating sexual pleasure by websites. And there can be resources, there are resources that can be of great help to people as they seek to go a different way forward. There is always a way forward through Christ. But the message this morning is not to walk that way. That is the dark side here, according to these verses. Allow this morning's message to mean that the way forward is different. We need to walk as children of light. We need to cross the road into the light side rather than the dark side. There is a new path ahead. And it spends quite a bit of time on this. So we're going to look a bit more of what it teaches here so that we can understand this. It says, in terms of this area, Don't do those things that perhaps you used to do. That's not the way forward. Don't do it anymore. It shouldn't be linked with a Christian life and with churches, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. It shouldn't be a current activity in the life of a Christian and churches. If somebody says, well, there's a Christian church there, but they're all having affairs. That's not right, it says. It's a Christian man, but he's always going on websites on the quiet. and just ogling what he sees. That's not right. It's a boyfriend and a girlfriend who are believers, yet they keep hopping into bed as though they are married. It's not right. Don't do it, he says. That's not the way forward. And he puts it in very strong language in verses 5 and 6. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Seems shocking, doesn't it? To a culture like ours, which has drifted so much. But the pattern, the ongoing deliberate pattern of sexual immorality or greed is not in keeping with somebody who's in God's kingdom. It's the sort of thing, like many other things, which brings God's wrath and judgment and which we need forgiveness from. Well, living in the wake of what we might call the sexual revolution, which we have done for about the last 60 years, where anything goes if it fits your desires, it's interesting now that it's not just Christians who are pushing back on that sexual revolution. Louise Perry, who is a feminist writer, has written The Case Against the Sexual Revolution. And here's how her recent book is introduced on Amazon. It's slightly academic in the language, but you'll catch the drift. This is the way it's described. Ditching the stuffy hang-ups and benighted sexual traditionalism of the past is an unambiguously positive thing. The sexual revolution has liberated us to enjoy a heady mixture of erotic freedom and personal autonomy. Right? Wrong, argues Louise Perry in her provocative new book. Although it would be neither possible nor desirable to turn the clock back to a world of pre-60s sexual mores, she argues that the amoral libertinism and callous disenchantment of liberal feminism and our contemporary hyper-sexualized culture represent more loss than gain. The main winners from a world of rough sex, hook-up culture and ubiquitous porn, where anything goes and only consent matters, are a tiny minority of high-status men, not the women forced to accommodate the excesses of male lust. While dispensing sage advice to the generations paying the price for these excesses, she makes a passionate case for a new sexual culture built around dignity, virtue and restraint. Well, it's quite highfalutin language, a lot of it, isn't it? Here's the last bit again. She makes a passionate case for a new sexual culture built around dignity, virtue and restraint. Well, I don't imagine her book aligns up with a Christian perspective. She doesn't pretend that it does. But it's another voice to not go with the culture. Don't do it. But he also says, really, don't speak about it, or don't relish talking about it. In verse 12, we have this: for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. We say, well, what does that mean? You're speaking about it now, aren't you? Down at the front, you're talking about it. It's talked about here in the Bible passage we're looking at this morning. There are books on this stuff, Christian books, good books on this stuff. So what does it mean? Don't speak about it. Verse 4 helps, I think. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. So we can, if you like, avoid being involved with the actions of immorality, greed. But what we say advances it, approves of it enjoys it. We almost enjoy it by proxy, if I can put it like that, by our jokes, by our innuendo. And it can be really hard, can't it, in a culture which has become soaked with that way of approach. It can be really hard to sort of pick your way through it, to avoid it, to be different, to not follow along with it in the way in which you speak. When we're so used to speaking that way, perhaps when we become a Christian and we want to be different in our language, and it just doesn't come easy at first. And there's a place in the Christian life, isn't there, for a lot of fun and laughter and humour. But there are some sorts to be avoided. It's good when you can avoid them. It's good when you can find shows and comedians who know the difference. Good not to undermine God's great and wonderful standards by what we relish and love talking about together. So he says, don't speak about it. He also says, don't join in it. Don't join in it. See, one of the things about these things is that others are into them. Maybe our friends are into them, or those who've been our close friends. And it's just hard to stand strong against it, isn't it? Especially when you're young, it's hard to stand strong against it. So perhaps that's why he especially encourages us not to go along. Verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Show it up for what it is. Stand separate from it. Don't go along with it. Don't join in. It's very hard when I always have, isn't it? And it's very hard when I look stupid because I don't. And it's very hard when the night itself gives some short-term kicks and fun. Don't be partners in it. Don't join them in it. Walk in the light, not in the darkness. And it can be hard, can't it, when you get an invitation to a party, to a club, to a friend's house, and sometimes you're not really sure quite what's involved, because you want to love people and you don't want to be holier than others. And you'd love your people to the friends that you've got to know Christ, and you don't want them to feel that you're aloof. And you think about these situations, and you do want to walk in love, but sometimes you know it's just not going to be good. It's going to be unhelpful. It's going to be wrong. And you need sometimes to think, yeah, no, I'm just not going to join in. I'm not going to this one. Going to give it a miss. Going to do something different. Instead of walking in the dark, there is a light side that we want to enjoy. There's a good route through life that God has given. It's the pathway of thanksgiving, verse 4. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. God has given so many gifts which we can enjoy, love to enjoy. Let's enjoy what God has given, not crave after what is harmful and which he has not given for us to have. Whatever the past, now go forward in the way of light, verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So, how are we going to approach this week? How are we going to approach the way ahead, this new phase of life? Walk in the light. walk in the light. Well, perhaps it's quite a relief to go on to our third point. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Walk in wisdom. The older versions had walk circumspectly, which is an unusual word, but it's quite descriptive. Circum, around, circumference, circumspectly. Well, walk looking around, aware of the dangers. And it reminds me of when I was learning to drive and a driving instructor, and I was doing some manoeuvre or something, and when I was manoeuvring, he put his hand over the rear view mirror, put his hand, I said, what are you doing? I can't see where I'm going. He said, don't look at that. Look all around you. Look around. Don't just concentrate on the little bit of the mirror. Look right round you. That's good advice. That's the sense here. Look, be aware of everything that's going on. Be aware of the hazards. If you're learning to drive, you often have hazard awareness. Now, it's part of the theory, isn't it, that you're going along a road and you've got to spot, you know, the child that might run out and the car that's reversing and the dog, and you want to be aware of the hazards. And so the Lord says, as we walk through life, be aware of the hazards. Be aware of the difficulties. Avoid them. Walk wisely. And here it especially does it in, well, three ways. We're going to leave the third because it links better with when we're next into Ephesians. So we're going to pick up two particular ways of walking wisely. And one is in terms of our time. You have 8,760 in a year. You have 168 in a week, and you have 24 of them in a day. The hours that God gives you. You break them up. We could do it in minutes, but perhaps that's over intense. You can think of quarter of an hour as significant chunks of time. Time slots that God has given to you. To be well used on good things. They can be squandered, they can be wasted, or they can be used well. We can be a time waster or a time seizer. And he says in verse 16, walk as not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. The spare time this last week, where'd it go? The spare time this coming week, where might that go? Some will be rest and chilling out, and God gives such things. And some people, in certain times and phases of life, need lots of it and more of it. But it is, there's loads of those chunks, hours or quarter of an hour, just lost on endless social media scrolling and commenting. We're sleeping away most of the day when we don't actually need to. Are we watching much more than is healthy and is necessary? It's a sad world. There's lots of good that can be done. When we're young, it's especially good if we learn what it is to use time well and get into good practices. We should walk wisely in the use of our time. Look careful then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Had a good thing to think about? Walking wisely with our time. Gives us a second area. Walking wisely in drink and singing. In drink. And what is the Christian attitude to drink? I don't mean Ribena. What is the Christian attitude to alcohol? Well, some seem against alcohol altogether. Perhaps they've seen its damage and the harm that it can do. But that's really overstepping the Bible. It's going further than the Bible does. Jesus changed water into wine. And perhaps my dad's favourite quote in recent years has been, take a little wine for your stomach's sake, because he quite enjoys his wine. The Bible is not against alcohol. But it does warn about excesses. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Too much alcohol can lead to wildness, can't it? To a lack of control. And he says we need wisdom. When you're thinking about your approach to alcohol, other substances, you need wisdom. You need to be aware of the dangers and the hazards. What's your relationship like with alcohol? It's a good gift to be enjoyed in the right place. Wine, it gladdens the heart of man, doesn't it say in the Proverbs? Or has it grabbed you? Is it dominating you? Is it warping your thoughts and your actions, causing harm to others? Driving under the influence is not good. Living under the influence is not good. It's a much better way, he says. It's a much better influence. It's a much better driving force. See how it's connected. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Not the dulling effects of spirits of drink on our life, but the life-giving, transformative effect of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Those who get drunk are often singing, aren't they? You know, when you're on the tube or at the station late at night and you hear them coming, they might be staggering and might be having a good laugh and they might be loud, but there's often sort of singing going on as well. Well, there's a better way. Stirred by God's Spirit and stirred by the singing of others in truth. Verses 19 and 20, you know, could do with quite some attention themselves, because they make us think about the place of singing in the life of the church. But I'll just read them here. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing is a way in which we praise God, and singing affects you, doesn't it? Singing sings truth to your heart, singing, you sing truth to the hearts of others. When we sing good words here together and at other times, we get encouraged and lifted up and helped in truth. They focus our minds on God. They often stay with us for the rest of the day and beyond. That's a wise way to go. Filled with the Spirit, stirred up with singing truth. So maybe in the old way of life, you know, Friday evening perhaps was a big night, maybe the whole weekend. You ended up worse for wear, drinking too much. You felt grim maybe the next morning, and it sort of lasted for quite a few days. That was the old way of life. Well, now, at the weekend, and on Sunday especially, you sing God's truth. You hear God's truth being sung. You drink in the gospel afresh. It stays in your mind. And you start the week, and it goes into the week with a sense of momentum and clarity and help. And that's the new way forward. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And one of the great ways in which that's encouraged is by singing truth to one another. Well, perhaps you're recently a Christian. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many years. Thinking, how do I go forward in life? This week, this new phase, what's the route I take? And this morning's passage says, walk in love. Walk in the light. And walk wisely. And as we've heard about it, we can sing about it in our final song, which is really a song which encourages us in our daily walk to live devoted to the Lord through the whole pathway of life. Christ be in my waking as the sun is rising, in my day of working with me every hour. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word to give us light, to give us understanding, to help us navigate a way through a difficult culture, to help us to navigate the way forward despite our own hearts. And we thank you that there is forgiveness with you. We thank you that all our sins can be washed away as we confess our sins and trust in the blood of Christ. We pray that you would help us to go forward in the way of love, in the way of light, and in the way of wisdom. Make this morning's passage significant in advancing us in a good way for your glory, for the blessing of others, and for our own good. Amen.